This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. And I am back with my next guest, William Maz. This book is called The Bucharest Legacy. It's so good. I was really thrilled to get it because, it's the second book. The first one, The Bucharest Dossier, was really great. But this new one, it's called The Bucharest Legacy, and it's The Rise of the Oligarchs. And, you know, the truth is most Americans don't have any idea what an oligarch is.
Yeah. Let me go into it.
Yeah. You have to explain it because they hear that term, and I don't know if it's been deliberately just tossed around. I mean, anybody who's lived in Europe, we know what oligarchs are. But here in America, sort of maybe in some spy movies they mention it, but Americans don't understand what an oligarch is.
Okay.
It's hard to understand how they have so much power.
Well, let me get into the definition. First of all, oligarch goes back all the way to Aristotle. And by definition, an oligarch is not just a wealthy person. You know, Bill Gates would not be considered an oligarch because he created his own company from nothing and so forth. Oligarchs are wealthy people whose wealth depends on the leader. Now, in the old days, was the king. And the king, like in England, they didn't call them oligarchs. They called them earls and dukes. What the king does is he gives part of his wealth, land with serfs on it, to loyal friends or soldiers, knights them, and makes them part of the oligarch system to control the country. And that is exactly what has happened in the former communist states. It didn't happen just in Russia. It happened in every single one, practically, with a few exceptions, of all the communist states that turned to capitalism. And so these oligarchs became wealthy when the transition to democracy happened and all of the companies owned by the communist government had to be privatized. And that was very much corrupt. And these companies ended up in the hands of a few. And they became immensely wealthy overnight. At the same time, they bought up media companies, which they used to prop up the new government that took power after communism, which was made up of the old communist people anyway, because those were the only politicians that were running, were old former communist men. So the oligarch, again, is an old system that the communists used during that transition process. And it survives to this day in all of them.
Well, you know, William Maz, you were born in Bucharest. So it's really perfect that you have the subject to write about because it is fascinating. As I said in the first book where we were talking about the Bucharest dossier, this was at the time of the revolution, right when it was happening. And the new book is, 4 years later? I think 4 years later?
3 years later.
Yeah, 3 years later. And now you're talking about what's happening. And in some ways, things are still bad. Again, we have this lovely thing here in America of completely ignoring things. When I was a kid, my favorite subject was geography. In grade school. I loved geography. I thought it was so much fun. All those maps and the pretty colors and you got to draw them and then you learned about the countries and in those days they actually talked about the countries. So, you know, we knew where they were and we knew something about them. I don't think you could find very many Americans who could find Romania on the map.
Right. Well, I can tell you it is right next to Ukraine.
Which I know, and they don't know that.
Which is right next to Russia.
So it's all in there. And, of course, my husband and I were not allowed to get into Romania. He had an Israeli passport, so he couldn't get in. We managed to get a few steps into Yugoslavia, and that's as far as they'd let us into Yugoslavia. So we've been to that area. We know those countries. And people don't understand how really terrible things were in those countries.
Yeah.
the lines, the corruption, the needing to pay for any little thing you wanted. We found that when we were driving through Poland. I mean, every place we went, somebody wanted something.
Right. Of course. Now, let me just explain to you how corrupt the communist system was and how that helped the oligarchs. Because in the communist system, everything was based on the bakshish. That's a Turkish word. It means the bribe. Everything from having the butcher save you a slab of beef to buying a car. Instead of waiting 5 years, you could put your name up higher on the list if you bribe the manager. To seeing a doctor, without money, they won't see you. Without your grandmother's old jewelry, you're never going to have surgery. All the way up to the corrupt officials who always demanded bribes, and especially from any company that wanted to do any business in Romania. So they became wealthy even under communism, and they had offshore accounts, including Ceausescu, who was thought to have had over $1 billion, but they never found it. Now, because everybody was used to corruption, Ceausescu knew about this, but this is his oligarch system during the communist system. He knew everybody was stealing from the government coffers, but he let them do that because he wanted to keep them close. And all of this stuff was put into the security services dossiers, their files. When communism fell, the security service, the Securitate, had all of these dossiers at their fingertips with which they could blackmail all the government officials, parliamentarians, judges, and so forth in order for them to allow the oligarchs to get all these companies. So that's with the bribe and with the blackmail is how these security officials became the new oligarchs. It's not an accident that the people in charge of the companies in Russia are all former KGB. It's the same thing happened in Romania. They're all former Securitate people or their sons and daughters now who own all of these major companies. And they did it by using these archives of dossiers to blackmail all the officials who had been corrupt during the communist system. And they had all been corrupt, because that was the way the system worked.
So you've written this really fascinating spy story about a CIA agent, Bill Heflin, who himself was born in Bucharest, but is an American. Tell us how much of him is you, but I would say there's some parts of it that probably are. So
let me tell you. You know, when they asked Flaubert, who is Madame Bovary, he said, Madame Bovary is me.
Yes.
Now, Bill Heflin is not me, but I use parts of me. You know, I did have a girl in Romania that I left behind named Pusha, but that was in the first book, but I never went back to see her. So the rest is fiction. I did go to Harvard, but I was never recruited by the CIA. And so forth. You know, some of the things in Romania that I portray happened to me. Many of them happened to relatives or friends. And so I use what I can. You know, my loyalty is to the story, to a higher truth that the story hopefully can portray. And so that's all I can say about that.
Well, you've developed a great character. And one that is growing as you're progressing, and I'm sure there's going to be more books. It's going to be a lovely, nice, long series, because he is interesting, and the characters around him are interesting, and there's a lot of room for growth. Now that he finds himself going back to Bucharest on assignment, tell people about what his assignment is in this book.
First of all, at the end of the first book, there are several things left hanging, so I try to take care of those in the second book. But the second book begins with Heflin doing an exfiltration of a KGB agent who wants to defect from Bucharest. The Finally, it goes wrong, but finally when he does get himself back to Langley, the defector tells him that there is a mole inside the CIA, and that the handler of the mole is a KGB agent known as Boris. Now, if anybody has read the first book, they will know that Boris was actually Heflin's asset inside the KGB. So now everybody suspects that Boris was actually a triple agent who was handling Heflin, and inside the CIA, that Heflin is a traitor. And so he must now go back to Bucharest to find Boris and clear his name. And there is where he meets the oligarchs and the corrupt system that has risen out of the ashes of communism and that has stolen democracy from the people of Romania.
It's an ongoing thing. It hasn't really changed. The problem is you have moles within moles. I mean, that everybody, yes. You don't know who to trust. And that, of course, has all been the case. It was the case in, I remember when I went to Moscow, that I never would go in a shower without a nightgown on, because you knew they were watching you. And to live under that kind of life where you knew everybody was watching you and reporting on you, and your friends and family, you're not sure even about them.
Well, you knew in Romania that all of the telephones came from the factory with a microphone inside of them. And that microphone could not just listen to your phone conversation, but it could hear everything that went on in the room. And it was illegal to remove it. So whenever you went to somebody's home, you saw this cord going from the wall into a drawer or a closet, because they wanted to muffle the sound that the microphone could hear. So everything, you went to a hotel, the ashtray, the cups had microphones built in them. All the personnel, from the waiters to the bartenders to the cleaning ladies, to the prostitutes that were everywhere, they were all working for the Secret Service. And they and their job was to compromise you.
I mean, it makes for a fascinating story. That's why your books are so good. I mean, you've got it all. Of course, you've got beautiful women. It's all, but for people who don't understand that this was a planned program to raise these girls really from a young age to act as spies. So for your story, I mean, this gives you lots of possibilities.
Yes, it does. Well, you know, the first book started out as a love story. So that was a love story inside of a spy thriller, inside of a historical novel. I used the historical novel again 3 years later. The love story is mostly resolved, but the spy story continues because it has now become a cauldron of spies, of racketeering, of the underground, and of the government, all in one in Bucharest. And like I said, in practically every other former communist country. The only one that didn't was East Germany, because it immediately fused with West Germany, so they didn't have a chance to form oligarchs. But the oligarchs did not just control the new privatized companies. They managed arms dealing, illegal arms dealing to Yugoslavia. If you remember, during those days, Milosevic was butchering the Muslims there in Kosovo and Bosnia-Herzegovina. All of his arms came to Romania. And in fact, one of the arms dealers was a general, Stanculescu, who helped bring down Ceausescu, the communist leader, and became a hero. But then he quit government and became a wealthy oligarch by running guns. So that's the way things work there.
I don't know if people are going to Romania now, I think as tourists and can see the country. Yeah. I'm very familiar with Romanian food. Romanians make the best soup.
let me tell you, Romania now is, you know, if you look at it, it is nothing like it was during the communist days. The standard of living has risen. Everybody's got iPhones, and it looks like a normal society like any other European country. But underneath it, the people who run it are still the oligarchs, and it doesn't matter which party is in power. That's the problem.
That's a problem. Well, it makes for interesting reading in your book. And now, I hope that people will get this book. It's just a good read. There's romance, there's action, there's some good action in there, and a nice plot, and you do not know exactly who is the bad guy. I can't say all the oligarchs are bad guys. Is there a good oligarch?
I mean, there's never a black and white. That's what I like. I'm towards the Jean Le Carré type of spy novel with less action, although I have plenty of action.
Yeah.
But I want it to be a thinking man's book. Thinking woman's book.
Yeah, I think you're right. It is a thinking person's book, because you do sit back and you say, well, okay, I'm this is interesting. I didn't know this, and lots of things to discover. As I said, you do have, it always comes back with a book like this, that you have to have a good character. And I think you've developed, you know, a nice character that people will care about, and that's important, because you're going to keep writing about him.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
And his background, and about, you know, I like when you wrote about Catherine, and about really a whole bunch of characters in there that I think Heflin is somebody who has a lot of stories in him.
Yes, I tried to make it more than just a spy novel. You know, I tried to have the private stories of each one of my characters, and they all have something that they're looking for besides the spy plot. And so that I think makes it more interesting, and it tells you something about the country, like the Roma population, the gypsies that exist in Romania. They're the most, you know, downtrodden people there, and they have been used as an excuse for anything that goes wrong in Romania, and they're treated very badly. So I wanted to portray them and show what their situation is.
I think it's a fascinating book, and people, when you finish this book, it's a standalone, but I'm sure you'll go back and read the first book, because it is very good, and it's by William Maz. This one is called The Bucharest Legacy: The Rise of the Oligarchs, or as I would say, the rise of the really, really bad guys. but it's a great book. Do you have a website you want people to visit?
WilliamMaz.com.
Well, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. Good luck with this book.
Like,
you're working on the third one, I hope.
Of course.
Of course. Of course you are. I know it. Once you find that joy on paper, you can't stop writing.
That's right.
That's true. Okay, so I'll have you back here sometime next year.
Hopefully, yes.
Okay,
hopefully.
Great. Thank you. Everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, and stay cool. And read The Bucharest Legacy, and it's The Rise of the Oligarchs. Good book. Bye-bye.